I speak to you in the name of Jesus, risen from the dead. Amen. When I was Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in Buffalo, my wife and I always attended the annual conference of North American Cathedral Deans held every year just after Easter. Over the years, we met in many colorful and interesting places: Washington, D.C., Quebec City, Newfoundland, Victoria, British Columbia, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Atlanta, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, and Detroit. But the second conference we attended was held in San Francisco. We had a great time. What's not to enjoy? We stayed in the Fairmont Hotel on Nob Hill, rode the cable cars down to the waterfront. We lingered in the Ghirardelli store, lured by one more mouthful of chocolate. We sampled dim sum in Chinatown. We sat in a restaurant by the water watching pelicans and seals frolic while Tiger Woods won his first Masters golf tournament. We renewed friendships with deans from all over North America, as well as some from Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Tokyo, and Cape Town, South Africa. Under the theme, The Future of Religion, Global Visions and Tribal Passions, we engaged several speakers and workshops in a conversation about the future of religious believing and belonging. Of all the things I heard at that conference that I still remember were comments Dean Alan Jones of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco made while we were having coffee in the cathedral courtyard. Alan said that most of the people who now found their way to Grace Cathedral had not lapsed from anything. We used to talk about people who were lapsed Roman Catholics, or lapsed Presbyterians, or lapsed Lutherans, or lapsed Unitarians, or, God forbid, lapsed Episcopalians. But now, said Dean Jones, they arrived with no religious past or presumptions. They carried no religious baggage and no understanding of what was happening in the cathedral. In the 25 years since that conference, I've thought a lot about that observation of Dean Jones. I used to think about it all the time during my time at the cathedral in Buffalo. Certainly in Buffalo, with decidedly less exotic diversity than San Francisco, people arrived at St. Paul's who had not lapsed from anything. Many of them had been baptized way back when. Some had even gone to church or Sunday school for a while. But soon they dropped away and forgot what little they had learned. I'm still thinking about these unlapsed people who sometimes show up in churches. Now, while I am with you, while you are imagining your future, trying to understand how God is calling you to open the doors on God's grace and hope here in Temple Terrace. I have seen the people who show up at St. Catherine's. Some may call themselves Catholics or Methodists or Baptists or some other brand, but their roots are often so shallow and their formation so inadequate that to call them lapsed is almost meaningless. At best, they are like the Ethiopian eunuch who came to Jerusalem to pray. They have found their way to the temple. They have watched the liturgy. They have hung around the sacred precincts. They have followed the longing of their hearts and the wonder of their imaginations. And then they may turn to go home. For me, just for me, the turning point of the Christian faith lies in this story. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead could have remained a mystery captive in a garden. The combustible explosion on Pentecost and the fiery convulsion of languages that echoed throughout Jerusalem could have blazed out as just a light and sound show. But this story, it is in this story of the Ethiopian eunuch, someone finally figured out how to talk about Jesus without assaulting the listener. Philip was able to enter into conversation with the one seeking salvation. You have to picture Philip running alongside the chariot in which the very important and educated and pious African man is sitting and reading. "Do you understand what you're reading?" said Philip. "It's an invitation to a conversation." The eunuch might have answered, "Of course." End of conversation. But Philip opened the door of his heart and his mind and made a hospitable space for the seeker. And the eunuch accepted the invitation. "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. As we talked in the courtyard at San Francisco, Alan Jones spoke about his hope that cathedrals could be special places where the encounter between Philip and the eunuch could be reenacted again and again. While I know from my experience in Buffalo that cathedrals may in fact midwife such encounters, I can't help feeling that every church could do the same. Every church. Certainly St. Catherine's can be such a place. And as you imagine the future and you seek a new pastoral leader, I invite you to imagine the hospitality and the healing and the hope you can offer to the world around you. There is a spaciousness about our community of faith that makes possible this kind of evangelism. People walk through the front doors of this church with longing, searching, and questioning hearts. All the time they do. Sometimes they don't even know what they're seeking. They don't even know what to say. They sit and watch as we walk around, embrace one another in peace. Well, we used to. We will again. Sing, and as we've all pressed forward to surround the table of God. How often have you ever said to a modern-day Ethiopian eunuch, "Do you understand what you're seeing and hearing and singing and reading?" It's a legitimate question. The person may be just waiting for such an invitation. How can I unless someone guides me? And salvation may be glimpsed in such conversations. Too long we have labored over keeping the commandments, even the commandments of love that John speaks about. For too long we have pursed our lips with impatience when the eunuchs ask their simple questions. For too long we have substituted doctrine for life. We have pretended that impediments to faith are merely disciplines to be learned. We could say to the eunuch, "Drive on, park your chariot if you can find parking space. Go inside the church. Do a quick self-study in Anglican chant. Learn the books of the Bible. Master the prayer book. Figure out when to stand and sit and kneel. And then, ask whatever you want." We could say that to the eunuch, but he would probably drive on back to Ethiopia and never come back. Do you realize that right at the beginning of our story, a black man, a man of Africa, was in Jerusalem? The opportunity to open his heart to God in Christ might have been lost had Philip not jumped aboard the chariot and answered his questions. Had Philip not treated this black man as a person of worth and importance and taken seriously his question. Every Sunday, here at St. Catherine's, we represent the great mystery of faith. We celebrate the liturgy of word and sacrament. We draw deeply from the ancient tradition and the wisdom of the faithful. Every Sunday we have among us some people who are looking around and wondering what's going on. Perhaps a restless heart or a tired spirit is sitting in the pew behind you or in front of you or next to you or watching us on Facebook or YouTube. There is someone sitting in this church today or watching from home who longs to understand the story, who has smelled glory and breathe the power of new life. Do not let those persons go on their way before we can ask, do you understand what you're reading? So I will start. Do you understand what you're reading and hearing and seeing and doing? If you want a guide, I'm available. Let's ride along together and talk. Maybe you've never lapsed from anything. All the better. Perhaps you can hear the story of Jesus in a fresh way. Amen.